Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
That was the first cry of David's heart. He knew that his sin had grieved God. Nobody loves you the more perfect love. Nobody knows you the more perfect knowledge. And your sin affects God.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the Scripture says about the devastating consequences of hidden sin. This message was recorded during a chapel service in 2001. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, the devastating consequences of hidden sin.
Whatever you are fighting and whatever you are battling, God has the answer. There is freedom. You say, you don't know my background. God knows everything about you and loves you with a perfect love. And God desires his very best for you. You cannot blame a circumstance. You cannot blame a broken family. You cannot blame anything for the choices you are making. You are personally responsible for making the choices that you make. How many people blame their situation and blame their family and blame their reason for being bitter on something? But the end result is they live in a presumptuous way and think there'll never be a consequence to it. And I want to preach in these moments that are left on the devastating consequences of hidden sin. What are the consequences when I choose to sin presumptuously? Whether you are getting a video, whether you are going to the internet, whether you are in your thought process planning that which is evil, whether you are in your personal life in a drift of some type that only you and God know is going on. There is a devastating consequence to living presumptuously with hidden sin. I will just name five. Let's turn to the book of Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing in verse 1. God had given Israel great victory in Jericho and an impossible way to win, but yet God chose to give Israel victory. But he said, in the midst of the victory, do not touch any of the spoils of battle. Do not touch that which God told you not to have. But in chapter 7 and verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now what happened is Achan sinned within his own heart. They had just saw God bring a victory in a battle that was humanly not winnable. Now they were going against a tiny little nation, tiny little city called Ai. And Joshua said, don't let all the people go up. We'll just send a small group of people up. They're but few. The problem was, verse 4, so they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in a going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, even unto the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turn their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanite and the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up there, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but they turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. And Joshua goes to the Lord and says, why have we seen your name belittled by us being defeated by Ai? And God says, get up. This is no time to be on your face. There is sin in the camp. And I am going to have you take every family, and I'm going to have you take every man, one by one. And I'm going to have you to ask that they glorify God in what they've done. And in verse 14, in the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come by man by man. Individual judgment, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerites, and he brought the family of Zerites man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Note the progression. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. That's the progression of deceit. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. That is the progression that has been taken by anyone in this room tonight who is in a position that is on the verge of destruction, on the verge of God exposing the heart and exposing the sinful choosing that is going on. And it's interesting that God told Joshua, take the families, family by family, and then man by man, and ask if they would glorify God in what they've done. We are alive to God's glory. So Joshua takes Achan, and he says, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Tell me what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan comes to a point of confession. The judgment was terrible judgment. He was free to choose, and he chose to live presumptuously. Whether you are saved or lost here tonight, you are free to choose. Whether you're saved or lost, you have before you opportunities to do good or to do evil. And if you have developed a pattern of evil, but no one knows, and you think you are under control and that which could destroy you is really not out of control in your life, but it's a hidden sin. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23 says, and be sure your sin will find you out. And be sure your sin will find you out. Proverbs says, he who covers his sin shall not prosper. Proverbs 28:13. What are the devastating consequences of hidden sin? Number one, God himself is affected. Go back in the story and the victory is lost. Joshua is crying out before God. And Joshua says, what shall we do now because of what has been done to your great name? We have been turned in the presence of your enemies, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? The first one who was affected by your hidden sin is God himself. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, beholding both the evil and the good. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There is nothing that is hidden from God. When Joseph sinned or ran from the temptation of Potiphar's wife, he said, how shall I sin and do this wickedness against God? One of the greatest preservers you have in your life is to realize the fear of God, and that God knows you, and that God sees you, and that God loves you with a perfect love. And if you are God's child, you will be chastened as his child because he loves you with a perfect love, that you might be restored back to fellowship. But God knows, and God is affected. When David sinned in the matter of Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet came to David, and David was told, thou art the man. And David, after having this hidden sin for this long time, cries out, I have sinned against the Lord. That was the first cry of David's heart. He knew that his sin had grieved God. Nobody loves you the more perfect love. Nobody knows you the more perfect knowledge. And your sin affects God. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira saw the attention that was given to Barnabas when Barnabas gave all that he had for the cause of Christ. They deceitfully gave a portion, implying that they too had given all. And Peter calls Ananias. And boy, what a fear of God came on that early church. And Peter said, did you sell your land for so-and-so? Yes. Peter said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? Why have you lied to God? And Ananias dropped dead. And his body was carried out in the before the eyes of the people. And his wife, Sapphira, came in. And Peter said, did you sell the land for such and such an amount? Yes. You'll join your husband. Why have you lied to God? And the first two that saw that death come in that early church, Ananias and Sapphira, a fear came upon the people because they had been judged in the matter of their presumptuous sin. Oh, that we could develop the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You say, I would sure love to have victory over this thing that has a grip on my soul. You learn to develop a fear of God, and that which has such a grip on you now will become a hated thing, because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. God himself is affected. Secondly, the saints are affected. What happened in this matter when Achan chose to sin and chose to live self-centeredly? The family of God was affected. 36 families now without a dad. 36 wives without a husband. 36 men died in this battle because one person chose to live a presumptuous life. You don't sin in a vacuum. At Wednesday night, on the fun night, they had fun time after the evening service. They had the preaching and then fun time. I noticed a young man came into the back. I was standing in the back watching fun time, and I noticed a young man came in. He went over and got the person I thought looked like his youth pastor. The youth pastor went out, and then some others went out. And I thought, there must have been a phone call from home. There must be some tragedy back home. So I kind of quietly walked in the darkness there with the dim lighting that was there, and went over by the Coke machines. And I saw a large group gathered there. And I said, I stepped up quietly. I said, is there something I could do? Is there something I could pray with you about? Did you just get some bad news? I thought that they had gotten a phone call from home that some tragedy had happened. And this young man stand up and said, no, we're having revival. I got saved this week. I got right with God. I've been living like a hypocrite. It has affected the entire group. And I'm asking their forgiveness. And then another one piped up and said, I got right with God and I'm asking forgiveness. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. And you know, that went on with that group. And I saw that pastor a couple of months after that in the fall. And he said, you know, he said, that thing is still going on in our church with our teens. I saw him a year later. He said, those kids are still stirred and revived. You know what it took? Some guys who were living with a mask on, some who were living with hypocrisy, some who were living with hidden sin, decided to get honest, decided to come clean, and realize that their sin was not only affecting them, it was affecting the entire body. You never sin in a vacuum. But hallelujah, when you get right, it affects the entire group as well. When one suffers, all suffer, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:26. Who have you hurt by your actions? Who has been affected by your disobedience? Who has been turned by your selfishness and choosing to live your way and choosing to do your thing? Romans 14 and verse 7 says, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. The saints were affected. Thirdly, the sinners are affected. The lost people were affected. Ai thought they had the bigger God. When Samson sinned and he went down, study the life of Samson and you'll see he went down to Timnath. He went down again to the harlot. He went down. Every move was down. And in Judges chapter 16, when they had Samson in bondage, it said they praised Dagon, their God. And Samson was working the grinding mill for the Philistines, grinding out food for the Philistines. They were mocking the God of Samson, and they were praising Dagon, their God. They were making laughter and making fun. The sinners believe that their way is right because of the hypocrisy. Is the testimony out of your life such that gives an opportunity for sinners to believe their way is just as good as your way? You cannot sin and sin with presumption without giving the enemy an opportunity. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14, when Nathan told David about his sin, and he said, David, you have given occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. What was he saying? The lost have been given a reason to blaspheme our God. Oh, how many of you are in churches and you go to church and you hate it? Maybe because you're lost or you're bitter. And kids at school know you are in that church, and kids at school and in your neighborhood know that you are involved in that, but yet there's no fear of God in them because of your testimony in life. Then Satan is affected. Because Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 says, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, accuses day and night before God. When Satan brings up your name before God, what does he have to say? What is going on in the private chambers of your heart? What is feeding your soul? I received a phone call. There was a note on the door, and we were down at Nationals in Florida. My wife and I got back to the apartment. There's a note on the door and said, no matter how late it is, call and this number. It was an individual from a church. He said, we've got a real problem. The guy who was teaching our teen Sunday school class really created a big problem. This man taught his Sunday school class with PowerPoint. And he would get all of his outlines on PowerPoint, and then he would have illustrations on PowerPoint, and he would have everything there. But what nobody knew, except that man and God, what was going on in the inner chambers of his heart. This man was downloading pornography off the internet. And God says, all right, enough is enough. This man got up to teach his teen Sunday school class, and point number one, huge screen filled with a pornographic picture. This guy thought, I wondered how God was going to catch me. And he said, I'm standing there numb. He said, the teens are sitting there numb. And he said, I wrestled in my mind. I tried to hide and cover and lie again. And I said, teens, go get your parents from their classes and bring them all in here. And this man in brokenness confessed a secret life that he had been living. What a devastation. But the problem was it got around town. And when it gets around town, a story always grows. And the story that grew wasn't true. But I told him, I said, once you have chosen to sin presumptuously, you lose control of what happens when the consequences come. Let me just say this. Nobody sins and gets away with it. We monitor all the hits that are on the computers here. We track everyone down every day. And we'll always go back and monitor who has been playing where. And it'll be a day, maybe 2 days, or maybe 3 days, but that individual would be brought in. What were you intending to do? Why? Because there's a real enemy out there. And these people are giving Satan an opportunity to accuse before God. And last of all, you are affected. Not only is God and other believers and lost people, and Satan is given opportunity to blaspheme, you are affected by your hidden sin. I had for years in my back office, and I'm going to put it up in my home office. If you were to look at the picture, it looks like I had decided to go and get painting lessons, and it looked like a first attempt. The reason I have the picture there is not for the beauty. I was preaching in New Mexico, Roswell, New Mexico. There was a man in a wheelchair that would always be right down front, just under the pulpit as I would preach. And he beamed. He had a beam of God on his face. And after one service, he said, I want to invite you and your wife and family over for supper with our family. And we went over. Well, what a blessed time we had. He said, let me explain to you this wheelchair. He said, I got living independently. He said, a Christian, knew it. He said, I got comfortable, got relaxed. He said, I had given my life to Christ to do whatever God would have. He said, but I started getting careless. He said, one Sunday night, it was too hot, actually too hot to go and sit in church. He said, instead of turning to church, I decided I'm going to take my family and we're going to a swimming place. Had a water slide and had everything. And he said, I took my little boy on my back. And he said, I slid down the slide with him on my back. I was on my stomach. He said, I went in, I hit the water. And he said, I knew instantly what had happened. People are on the pool, grabbed the little boy, and they saw the man floating face down. The man knew his neck was broken. He said, I knew it. So the ambulance was called. He said they had to rush me to El Paso, Texas. He said, we just flew in that ambulance. And he said, I was asking God to, if he would just let me live, I'd serve him the rest of my days. Well, I'm sorry, the first one was his little boy. He sat in the back of an ambulance with his little boy. God spared the life of his little boy in another circumstance. And he said, I got comfortable again. And he said, after a period of time, he said, I started living like I owned me again. And the second incident was, his broken neck. You see, you trying to scare me? No, I'm not. If the fear of the Lord is in your heart, that should be enough to turn you in the right direction. And this man said, I knew what had happened. He said, I had pleaded with God for the life of my child. God gave me my child. And he said, I got living self-centeredly and independently again. And he said, hence the wheelchair. He said, I love the Lord. And he said, I'm right with him. He painted this picture for me with a brush in his mouth because he couldn't move anything but his head. And he painted this picture that's a special picture to me. And it's a reminder. Don't think you can run your own life and don't think you can call your own signals. Some of you think you're a little bit too big for Christian work. You're not going to be belittled by maybe even having to go and raise support. You're going to be somebody. You are going to be, when you walk in, people will say, oh, there's so-and-so. You think. But ultimately, God is the one who calls the signal. We were preaching down in Jacksonville, Florida. A lot of rebellious young people in that Christian school. One girl talked two of her friends into leaving school, and she told somebody she had to run back home to get something, had her convertible with the top down, speeding, missed the light, went under a semi-truck, cut the top of that car off. She and her two friends were killed instantly. Self is affected. He who covers his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes shall have mercy.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on the devastating consequences of hidden sin. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.